Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there, if you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnis Training proudly present No Borders, No Links, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. And today's episode is dedicated to a very special individual. He's a member of our Land of Esh family, and he is the very first voice you hear at the beginning of all of our podcasts. I'm talking, of course, about Phil the Issues Guy. This past week, Phil went out and got himself married to his lifelong sweetheart. And we have to send him a big congratulations to him. I was at the ceremony. It was very beautiful. It was actually the very first Jewish wedding I've ever been to. And the ceremony itself is just unbelievable. Filled with love, filled with life, and filled with just so much upbeatness. Like I said, this is the first time I've ever been to a Jewish wedding, and it was a very, very beautiful ceremony, and a great reception afterwards, too. Open bar, practically all-you-can-eat appetizers, a great chicken and salmon spread, and another all-you-can-eat dessert, and some great music, too. I mean, of course, Phil the Issues Guy would be blaring Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin at his own wedding reception. I mean, that's just perfect. That's just Phil. But for me, Phil was the very first friend that I made at Salem State, where No Borders, No Race would be born in 2006. He was phenomenal in our TV production classes. I somehow finally convinced him to do his own radio show at the Salem State College radio station, which then led later on down the line to Ninja Sister picking him up for the Issues Program website and now his Phil's recap and review. I mean, the man is just unbelievable talent, and I can't think of a better individual to have under the Land of Esh emblem, as it were. And not to mention just everything. I'm sorry if it sounds like I'm rambling. I'm actually going completely off script for this. But Phil is an awesome person, and the wedding was amazing. It couldn't have happened to a much better person. Congratulations to Phil and his beloved Stephanie. I hope it's okay I'm saying her name, Phil. I hope the honeymoon is a blast. Now, that could have been it. That could have been all I could have done for Phil the Issues Guy on this episode. But, you know, like I said, this guy is very special to me. He was the very first friend that made it Sam State. So I decided, okay, one of the things that I first learned about him when I was just getting to know him was that he was in a band. And that band was known as Frightening Dick Theater. As you know, we do our J-pop, J-pop, non-J-pop segments. For all of our non-J-pop segments on this week's episode, it's going to be a song from that band, Frightening Dick Theater. I had to go into the elephant graveyard known as MySpace to find these songs. Initially, I thought I had them, but I lost them somehow. Fortunately, after a lot of digging, I found them. And I hope you will enjoy this little blast from the past from Phil the Issues Guy. We're going to be spinning some Frightening Dick Theater stuff from his past, as well as our usual J-pop stuff, which, by the way, remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these records on sadiejapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. And Yes Asia as well. I almost forgot about Yes Asia. This is the first song that we're going to be playing. They're from a group called Ano Atari. And one of our friends sent it down for us to play. And it's a great little track from their EP, Kahata Redoki. And this song is called Hakamono Vision.
だけ潜り込んで頭ブドウとミルクでジュースをスクロールベイベースクロールやららを透かしてるよ。その先 UFO が落ちたのさ。木こりのおじさんたち宇宙人を見たってブドウとミルクでケーキを焼き終わるベイベー身につくも払おう。金魚の風船膨らまして腕を振って泳がそう。空がまるで水みたいシャボンで泡を作ろう。鳥たちが驚いて大声を出している。二人は気にしていない。さあ家へ帰ろう。
Stay with Fugitive from 2007's Alicia single. Last week, The Birthday unleashed their ninth album, Nomad, so be sure to grab that as well. The Seven Seas have become rough again with the return of Captain Jack Sparrow and Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. The film has Johnny Depp Sparrow setting sail with Henry Turner, son of Will, and an astronomer named Corina as they search for the Trident of Poseidon, which is said to rid every curse of the sea. However, a dead pirate hunter named Salazar, played by Javier Bardem, escapes from the Devil's Triangle and seeks to claim Jack Sparrow's soul with the aid of the reluctant Captain Barbossa. Now, I've been a fan of the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise since its beginning, and I've seen every single one of them in the theaters on opening weekend. So, I can say with confidence that Dead Men Tell No Tales isn't that bad for a fifth installment. It's usually around number three when ideas are dried up and go really sour, but I'm always surprised to see something new and fresh in this series, especially when it comes to some of the more chaotic aspects of the film. I love the bank robbery that happens early in the film, and the guillotine scene was filled with many laughs, and those rotting sharks just looked absolutely fantastic. An amazing effect. However, this was the first Pirates of the Caribbean film where I felt that Jack Sparrow felt more secondary rather than an actual main character. He's filled with some laughs and takes some of the shit, but I felt more that there was stuff happening between Henry, Corina, and even Barbossa than Sparrow himself. In fact, you could probably take Sparrow out of this film and it'd be the exact same movie. But the film was what it was, and it's still good to see Depp in full pirate mode as usual. Dead Men Tell No Tales had an okay script and a bunch of great jokes and one-liners, and I'm sure people will be quoting for the rest of the year, but I'd be lying if I said it was a strong film. It's a good popcorn flick, but it's not a shining example of a great swashbuckler film. All in all, Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Men Tell No Tales gets a 3 out of 5 from me. It's fun, but it's not the franchise at its best. Here's hoping the sixth and final film, which is hinted after the credits, will bring the series back on its A-game. You know, whenever the hell that's gonna come out. Alright folks, here's the first song from our Frightening Dick Theater collection with our buddy Phil the Issues Guy as the frontman. The first song I heard Phil ever do, and it's called Dick Torture. Play that horn, motherfucker!
I'm off and brought to the close edge back at the top. See you there when the bruises clear. I'm clearly better when it drops. Fall through rare, man's got off. Sink on the bomb like an old man mother. What's the hurry to get away? Say I'll flip you when you bend. Don't care. Hard for the words to cover. Mean to side, but bless each other. Get alive, it's a mess I see. Don't wanna live to what it's me. Pumps my inside mental clock. All I do, hope to rear. Ask me some laughs, I don't want to care. All that's great, but it's not the truth. The only truth is talk to me. Your very existence bothers me. You make me feel like a pot of you took away something I love. The one thing that makes me happy to help my head. You pissed off the wrong person. I just wanna make you suffer for this. Yeah, payback's a bitch, a little bitch. Don't want to die for the end. Gotta go with my soul in. Check it out for me with a close my mouth, I hold my heart. I'm standing the same, my legs spread apart. Care about the vine, that is your line. That used to be mine, so I drag it down the line. We'll be right back.
dream you were driving. Kuru ma wa boku ra wo nosete kita no hatte mezashite hashiru. We are singing rock and roll and having a good time. Suddenly I wake up to the alarm clock ringing. We could be closer to each other, but we won't be lovers. But it's okay, we can still laugh at the same thing. How about the same thing?
From her mini album Uno, that was Ray with We. Ray will be performing at the Summer Sonic Festival in Tokyo and Osaka on August 19th and 20th. You'll be able to find her on the Garden Stage during that event. A new franchise from Nintendo is about to hit the storefront, and that is ARMS. To prep its servers for the game's release, special trial sessions have been held by Nintendo for all to try the game out for themselves. You know, similar to what they did with Splatoon. The Global Test Punch, as it's called, gives players the chance to go one-on-one, triple threat, tag team, and even a strange variation of volleyball. Now, I had the opportunity to try this demo out, and I've got a few things to say about ARMS so far. For starters, the means of throwing punches will definitely be giving players quite the workout. It reminded me of when I played the Punch-Out remake on the Wii many years ago, which I hope gets a revamp of its own in the near future. As for the other forms of movement, it took me a long time to get used to leaning left and right to maneuver about. It was kind of reminiscent of playing on the Wii Bounce board for some of the Wii Fit titles. Now, when it comes to the weaponry, I found myself leaning more towards the usual boxing glove rather than the gun or specialized arms. Made me have to also get used to it, but I often had issues landing a hit with anything other than the gloved arm. Perhaps it's a bit of concentration, but it was quite difficult to make a mark in this game with those other arms. But when it came time to melee and pummel with the power-up you can initiate, it was just an all-out blast. Thus far, I'm definitely a fan of both the one-on-one and tag team modes, with there being a lot of strategy thrown in order to take on your opponents or help your teammate if they're in trouble. The triple threat battles take some getting used to, and it's a little bit disappointing that I can't hit one opponent with my left hook and the other opponent with my right one at the same time. And the volleyball one is still kind of confusing. And volleyball is not supposed to be confusing. Unless you watch Haikyuu like I do. At any rate, I enjoyed my time with ARMS, and I look forward to seeing what the full game will entail. ARMS will be out on the Nintendo Switch on June 16th, and I think many a Switch owner will want to get their ARMS around this release. Here's a new track from Lisa, who just released a new album called Little Devil Parade. From that album is a track called The End of My World.
Yeah.
Second track from Frightening Dick Theater, that song was called Motion. And a nice little fact for you all, Frightening Dick Theater once headlined at CBGB's in New York City. The story goes that that night's actual headliner needed to play earlier so a record executive or someone could catch their performance. So Phil and the gang switched time slots with them, thereby being the closing band at the world-famous club. Yeah, I know it's a technicality, but a headlining spot is a headlining spot. And besides, no other band today will ever have that opportunity since, sadly, CBGB's is no more. So Crunchyroll has been starting to add some of Funimation's backlog. And one title that I've been curious about watching is one that has many a meme created in its honor, and that is High School DxD, or High School Double Ds. I don't know exactly how you're supposed to say it. Yes, it's an incredibly fanservice-y show with tits galore, which is something I usually detest. However, what I appreciate about High School DxD is how it doesn't try to make itself out to be a super serious show. You know, like what that shit series The Testament of Sister No Devil did. So, High School DxD follows this pervy guy named Issei, who winds up getting killed after going out on a date with a fallen angel. A demon named Riaz revives him, and now has placed Issei as part of her demonic crew. They fight fallen angels, assist those who call upon demons for aid, and so on and so forth. The plotline isn't all that special. You can obviously tell that this is the kind of anime that was made to go as far as they could to be as naughty as possible. At least they don't hide that fact. However, I do have to give it props for some pretty damn good action sequences, especially when you watch Koneko simply destroy shit with her strength despite her small stature. High School DxD is more about having some fun with its characters and getting a little pervy in an R-rated sense. And it's gotten me to laugh a bunch of times, which is something I can't say about a lot of these fan service heavy shows like To Love Ru and Seven Mortal Sins, the latter of which I can't wait to write my piece on so I can drop it like the nasty garbage that it is. I think my favorite episode so far, I've watched about like 5 or 6 episodes so far of High School DxD. My favorite one so far is when Issei gets the opportunity to grab his familiar. It's him and another character that gets brought onto the demon's club, Asya. And just what happens when he finally goes forth and tries to find his familiar, there's a slime monster involved that can dissolve women's clothing. You can probably guess what happens, but it's all done in a very, very funny manner. And it's not a show for everybody, I can tell you that for certain. But it's very enjoyable, very funny so far, very entertaining, very action-packed. And like I said, it's not that serious, it doesn't take itself too seriously, but it does have some pretty good, okay, maybe decent, dramatic elements to it. You can catch all 3 seasons of High School DxD on Crunchyroll, and as mentioned, it's been licensed by Funimation. With the 4th season, yes, 4th season, coming later this year, it may be a good time to start playing catch up with it. Coming up, we've got a track from Perfume, who just successfully held their annual Perfume Fest event, as well as launched their own line of fragrance called, of course, Perfume on Perfume. From last year's Cosmic Explorer album, one of our favorites from 2016, this is Flash.
So Okay.
Santo Chirulan with Jump from their 2014 album S Times M Equals, one of the bands featured at this past year's South by Southwest Japan Night Tour. On July 10th, you can catch Hanato Chirulan at the Rock Life Circus Volume 3 event at Tokyo's Hatsudai Doors. Venue opens at 6 p.m. I know that I've been very vocal about the quality of American television being in the shitter. Outside of specific shows like Master of None, Documentary Now, and a few other of the streaming programming on the likes of Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon, TV in the U.S., to me, has been just hot, stank-ass garbage. However, I do understand that this is an opinion. One that I hope people place in the back of their minds when forming their own personal thoughts. A lot of shows I hate, I know people like, mainly because we have different tastes. And when a show people like gets canceled, I understand how the fandom gets upset. Hell, shows I loved are usually on the chopping block after just one measly season. Stuff like Backstrom, Firefly, John Doe, that X-Files spinoff about the lone gunman, and so forth. Oddly enough, the ones I named were all Fox shows. Anyways, this leads me to my thoughts on the cancellation of one particular long-running show that has seemingly upset certain groups, and that is Last Man Standing. Now, I personally think that the series was stupid, as it lacked the magic Tim Allen once had when he helmed Home Improvement once upon a time ago. But a good chunk of people enjoyed it, my parents included. I don't agree with their taste, but what can you do? So, the series has been canceled after 6 seasons and 130 episodes, and people are pissed, claiming it's liberal media's fault and other bullshit excuses. I'm not going to touch that argument with a 40-foot pole. However, here's what I'm going to do. For those who are upset about Last Man Standing being canceled, I'm going to offer you a bit of a silver lining, and that is this. It lasted 6 seasons. 130 episodes were made. Odds are, it's going to live on in syndication for years to come. While I don't particularly like the show, I know folks loved it and thought the writing was great and the comedy was good. Now let me tell you what I'm getting at. You fans of Last Man Standing made it to 6 seasons, which is usually the cutoff mark when it comes to a show's quality. You don't have to worry about dealing with seasons that weren't as good as past ones, losing the prime sparkle it once had. You'll never have to deal with the pain of a series that you once loved becoming one that you detest with your well-being. You denounce that Last Man Standing got canceled while Modern Family gets renewed for a 9th and 10th season to much fanfare to the fans. But guess what? I'm a fan of Modern Family, and I'm pissed that it got renewed for a 9th and 10th season, because the show hasn't been good since, well, season 6. It's downright horrible seeing a show that I once loved becoming just a smorgasbord of repeated jokes and gags and unfunny awkwardness. And they are not the only culprits of this. Do we need to mention how much both The Simpsons and Family Guy need to die in a dumpster fire? The Simpsons hasn't been funny probably since the movie came out in 2007, with Family Guy's quality nosediving around last year. And don't get me started on The Big Bang Theory. Can't fucking believe they're doing a Sheldon spinoff on top of another couple seasons. For fuck's sake, just kill it already. Look, I know you're upset that your beloved Tim Allen won't be on the small screen anymore until he probably gets another show. But be glad you got 6 seasons of it and not have to deal with the torment of beloved shows being drowned in the crapper due to overstaying its welcome. Let it go, and just be happy you won't see Last Man Standing suffer into what you would consider to be a below your ideas of mediocrity. And that's my 2 cents on this whole ordeal. One final track from our buddy Phil the Issues Guy's Frightening Dick Theater. This was a song I wish I could play on the radio back in my WMWM era, but you'll quickly hear why we couldn't. This one is called Fuck Pig. 2007 EP Airfield Color Swim. That was School Food Punishment with Turn. The band broke up back in 2012 with frontwoman Yumi Uchimura joining the ranks of La La Larks soon after, alongside former Go-Go Nana Ichihachi Hachi drummer Turkey. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter at KingBabyDuckESH, on the J-pop, anime, and video games amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH, on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, and on Twitch at twitch.tv/omnistryinc. Like us on Facebook.com/BostonBastardBrigade and on Facebook.com/LandOfEsh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smashed Rook, and Nerd Crave. Promotional consideration for this week's song from Ono Atari provided by our buddy Tom Maletsky. You'll be hearing more artists from his circle of friends sometime in the near future. In fact, as I was recording this, he Dropboxed a few more artists for me to play on next week's show, so look forward to that. And once again, congrats to our buddy Phil the Issues Guy for tying the knot. You know what was cool before I forget about it? They gave out commemorative yarmulkes for it. It was a nice touch. I'll be putting it somewhere safe soon in my little box of memories. For now, though, Umaru-chan is wearing it in my room. Anyways, today we're going to be ending the show with the ending to probably my favorite anime of the spring season, Alice and Zoroku. Thus far, that weird product placement stuff has stopped, but I probably just jinxed it. Here now, performing the end theme, are Toy 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 with the song Chant. And until next time, this is your King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps. Then. Hey guys, this is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.